You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Oh my goodness,
the one of one is missing.
I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more buying.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers to throw the football to?
Guess how much I sniped this for an auction.
Number to five, you dirty animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
Football cards, collecting and investing. His name is Andy. My name is Carter, and we are opening a box. We rarely open boxes.
Ooh,
I got a contender blaster that we're going to unleash today, Andy. And I first want to start off with the breaking news. Rashee Rice suspended for the first six games of the season. Andy, Rashee's cards have always been kind of tricky, considering – you know, most people, when they collect someone, they really, really, really want to like that person, right? And it's kind of hard to like someone when he has all these off-the-field things that pop up. But this was the best-case scenario, in my opinion, for him, because I was hearing it was going to be eight games. I was hearing it could have been midway through the season, which is disastrous for the fantasy playoffs. But for football cards, it's different because the first 4 weeks of the season historically are huge for football cards. So your thoughts on Rashee Rice's suspension and on top of that, how this could affect his weird card market?
Yeah, he got lucky, man. And, you know, he solidified himself as the alpha wide receiver for Patrick Mahomes. So there was a heavy tax, valuable card market behind him before. We definitely seen that cooled off big time in the past 6 months. This six games is good for him in the sense that he'll be coming back with plenty of runway for the rest of the season in the playoffs. His card market should not really be affected too much right now. Like, I've only seen one buy it now sold today on his rookie auto. There's just so many other players going up right now that people are focusing on, that the six-game suspension is not like – they're not – I don't think a lot of hobbyists are perceiving it as, like, really good news, but I think they should be. I think this gives you now, the confidence to go out and buy him simply from the production standpoint. Maybe you don't like him as a person player, but from the production standpoint, I think his cards are definitely going to go up a lot in value late in the season. Like, you don't have to buy them now. I would not be like impulsively buying them. I would be selective, stalking the auctions, looking for the deals well below comps, compare him to other 2023 guys. You know, like we could look at some of the skill position players that pop into my head are Bijan Robinson, but I mean, I would maybe go down the rankings a little bit, you know, Carter. But yeah, I mean, you can stalk those auctions and get those deals going for Rashi Rice with the confidence that you can flip him later playoff time period in January.
Yeah, let's talk about Xavier Worthy while we're here. Kind of a weird situation with him as well. And it's weird. It's not really anything new. He was one of the highest drafted rookies. He was a first round pick. Taylor Swift, the story of the year, dropping earlier this week. All right, Andy, actually, yeah. I've got to ask you this because you're so offline. Do you know the big Taylor Swift news from earlier this week?
Yeah, I saw the post. They got engaged.
Okay. There have been some ridiculous ones with our 5 years doing the show together. But Xavier Worthy doesn't have Panini autos. He's a Topps guy. So I kind of forgot that when this morning I wanted to look at a Silver Prism auto. But there is no Xavier Worthy Silver Prism auto. His gold number to 10 select one sold in late June for $265, number to 10. So your thoughts on Xavier Worthy and his cards moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I would be targeting these serial numbered cards and these like well-known premium cards from Prism. Even though the photo's a little goofy with the safety cap on, I would still, that would be the cards for me that I would target. Another one that we've seen fluctuate a lot is the Uptown. And these actually picked up quite a bit of popularity, done pretty well. Like you can see today, there was an SGC 9 of Xavier Worthy sold for $163 here. And that's an SGC 9. So it should be very comparable to Raw. I've seen PSA 9 sell for the same as Raw on a player we're going to look at here in just a second, Carter, Roma Dunze. And so you go and look, like yesterday, there was an auction that ended for $138.50. So I think that $138.50 clearly had profit. Maybe you could find some surface imperfections or something in there, but just looking at the thumbnail, obviously it looks okay, you know, from a centering and everything standpoint. And you can see how these kind of fluctuate a little bit, but people will pay up to $200 to $250 for a good skill position player in a good environment. And Xavier Worthy definitely fits that mold. I think out of the gate here, he can have some huge spike games that generate a ton of hype.
Yeah, I would love to know, and I would love for us, Andy, to do a deep dive on how big the Chiefs tax actually is. Because Xavier Worthy was fine last year. I can't wait to see him without Rice to start this year and how that actually is going to work just from a football film perspective. And obviously, Killa Trav is distracted, right? His Super Bowl was horrid, especially knowing he is the biggest or the best big game tight end we've ever seen. And he was terrible in that game. And everyone thinks he's lost juice. He's distracted. I can't wait to see Killa Trav in this Chiefs offense. Before we get to Roma Dunze, Andy, let's talk about Adam Thielen. He is the thumbnail image. If you had Thielen cards, now is the time to move them with him going back to the hometown team.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Adam Thielen is such an interesting market, too. So let's take a look at it here. I mean, he is moving, guys. So there's been four veterans that have returning to their home team, if you will, their team that drafted them. This is, and they're all wide receivers. It's an exciting time of 2025. But starting off with Adam Thielen, who has the least amount of rookie cards in pro uniforms that are licensed out of all these four guys that we're going to talk about here. Adam Thielen, as you see today, rookie ticket auto, raw. This is numbered out of 49. I think you know, I don't know exactly how many he's got, but he's got very few. So, like, this championship ticket is one of very few rookie cards that he has. Like, he's got the out of 99 here. Here you go. Here's August 18th, a base one, but I have to go look and see if that one's serial numbered as well. But the one out of 49 today sold raw for $275. PSA 10 sold for $580 in a buy it now. These are two monster buy it now transactions today.
Wow. Andy, look at this card. I've always said 2016 contenders rookie ticket autos. That's my favorite rookie ticket auto design ever. It looks just like a real freaking ticket. So, you know, for me, I think now is the time to move these. But I do love, it's kind of the Rashid Shaheed effect, these lower cut, deep cut wide receivers that just don't have a lot of product. It really reminds you of true scarcity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he has very few. I mean, really, you're looking at the rookie ticket auto, or I think a select is what you're looking at for Adam Thielen when it comes to his rookie card market. So, yeah, and you know, on the other side, Jalen Coker, whose value goes up a lot because – and this is part of the reason why the Panthers made this deal with Minnesota is because they love Jalen Coker so much. And plus, they spent a first-round pick on Tet McMillan. And if you think that Bryce Young's value is going to go up this year, you want to stack him with some Jalen Coker and Tet McMillan. But Tet is obviously expensive because he's a rookie, few pro uniform licensed rookie cards. But Jalen Coker has hardly any cards as well. Like, he's the new Adam Thielen on the Panthers in terms of not having any rookie cards. Like, these score that are coming out this year for Jalen Coker are virtually some of the only cards I can find of him in pro uniform, and it doesn't even have a rookie card shield. I mean, look at the 2025 select, no rookie card shield either, but people are buying these cards as his rookie card because it's either this or it's Leaf.
Cokehead, stand up. You want to know what's crazy, Andy? You know how much I draft on Underdog, and of course, I'm partnered with Fast Draft. Go use my promo code Carter. Deposit match bonus up to $50. Y'all, Jalen Coker's good. I don't know how any other way I could slice this. And the weird thing about Coker is he did have this very ambiguous wide receiver room that had a lot of really good players in it. But what do the Panthers do? They trade Adam Thielen, who was actually good, and then they cut Hunter Renfrow, who had some good moments in camp. No, they believe in Jalen Coker. I believe in Jalen Coker. Mm-hmm. Yards per route run numbers were really good last year for Jalen Coker, and he was producing before Bryce had his big uptick towards the end of the season. We know Xavier Leggett probably isn't anything, and I think Coker perfectly complements Tet, and I also think he complements a guy like Jatavion Sanders, who I'm really high on, their tight end going into next year. So Jalen Coker to the freaking moon. I still think you should buy him right now. That's how good I think he's going to be this next year. So there you go.
Yeah, don't be afraid to buy these Jalen Coker cards that are 2025 without the rookie card shield, because this is all he's got. These are the ones you want to go for. You can see the green score selling for around $20 with an auto. I mean, you should attack that for 20 or under all day. As I'm with you, I think Coker's going up here.
We say hi to Pick Six, Matt, Joel, the Dirty Animal Joel. I love that. Annoy. Bob, let's go to Joel's comment first. I picked up Travis Etienne on eBay hoping he would get traded, but that didn't happen. I could still hope for the best. So, Andy, your thoughts on this Jaguars, wide receiver, running back room.
Yeah, Travis Etienne's had a strange professional career to this point. You know, he led the NCAA in broken tackles, like, back before he was drafted. Then he was drafted in the first round by the Jags. And, you know, you wonder how much influence Trevor Lawrence had over that with their Clemson days and whatnot. And that was a previous coaching staff. And and he hurt his foot, like he had the Liz Frank fracture, whatever, in his foot, and he missed like his whole rookie season and then his second year. And now it's like he's being supplanted by Tank Bigsby. And now they bring in Bashel Tootin. And so there's a lot of ambiguity there. And Travis Etienne's cards have gotten really, really cheap. And with him being a 2021 rookie and with his draft capital, they printed so much of him. You really have to narrow in your focus on those PSA 10s because, let's face it, 2021 had really poor quality control. And then the rookie autos, the serial numbered cards that are more rare. And so I think Travis Etienne, where he's selling at now, still has a lot of upside this year because I think he can – he's still young. He's still in his prime. I don't – they're not going to just take him out of the game once the season starts if they don't trade him. So I think there's upside for where he's at on the Jags still. I think the Jags got to be better this year. I think there's upside in Travis Etienne, and then you've also got like trade potential. I mean, look at the 49ers picked up Brian Robinson. What if, you know, what if Christian McCaffrey gets hurt again? What if there's situations where teams have bell cow running backs that are contenders that if they get hurt, there's possibility they could pick up Travis Etienne in a trade.
Andy, did you know that Anoa'i bringing up a pretty big sale here? The Buccaneers just signed Michael Jordan. No, I'm serious.
There's a Michael Jordan that plays football, though, right?
So it is true. The Buccaneers, they released Michael Jordan, but then they signed him to the practice squad. He's a guard who played at Ohio State. And Anoa'i says a hobby is healthy when a $13 million Michael Jordan card gets sold. So for those that don't know, the Logo Man, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, beautiful card, sold for $13 million. And, you know, the biggest collector in the hobby, many consider to be a Shine 150. He was one of the three who were together who bought this card alongside Mr. Shark, Kevin O'Leary. So they teamed up and they're all over CNBC. But Andy, I think the bigger thing to Anoa'i is that the Michael Jordan of football has a lot of equity in sports cards in Tom Brady and the Card Vault. I've met the Card Vault guys a few times, met him at the Super Bowl, saw him at Fanatics Fest. So to Anoa'i's point, and then we'll get into some JJ McCarthy discussion here. The hobby with football cards, I understand it's weird with the Topps Panini thing and so on, but I am really bullish on the future of football cards.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's never been healthier. There's a lot of uncertainty around, you know, who's going to produce what. But at the same time, the actual market has never been healthier. I mean, there was a whole article I read the other day, and I forgot, I was going to try and pull it up here, but I think it was written by a financial person from like Activo or something like that. Don't quote me on that. But she basically did a study and like eBay's sold volume on and their trading card sector has gone up like crazy percentages. And it continues to grow. And like basically it was like sports cards and trading cards, like the entire thing has gone from a $1 billion industry to now a $40 billion industry. And there's really no slowing down. If you look at the prices on expensive rookie autos of these good players, whether it's running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, linemen, and especially quarterbacks, they're all way more expensive today, generally speaking, across the board than they were. And we're even like surpassing a lot of numbers that we saw in 2021, which was another time period when that 2020 boom really spiked. So yeah, very healthy.
Yeah, Andy, I'm sharing screen right now. Let's go to the card that he is referencing here. And it is this one. I mean, look at this. Holy moly. I mean,
We don't have time for this, Carter. This
I know.
This is NBA Logo Man stuff.
Yeah, so this isn't even the card, right? This was something he bought back in 2023. this was the one that they actually purchased, the Michael Jordan Kobe Bryant dual logo. Dear Lord, dude. Man. Mm. But what was overshadowed this weekend was actually this. And you can go read this for yourself. Tom Brady doesn't sign these types of cards, but he did it for Shine 150 because obviously Shine 150 and Michael Rubin are really good friends. This is a guy that I know, Chris Costa. He's with Brady. And look at this, Andy. An EX Essential Credential Future gold pin. Look at that, dude. That is just nasty.
Mm. That's a good auto from Brady, too.
Right. And God, dude, I don't know what I would do if I held this card right here. And I'm not even a Brady guy. And so here's Tom actually signing it. Man, I would have been so nervous prepping that pin.
Well, I love what Tom's doing for the hobby. I love what he's doing for the NFL. He's staying involved, you know, minority owner of the Raiders, lead Fox analyst. They're letting him have meetings with coaches and stuff this year. I think he's got quite a bit of say with the Raiders too. And I love what he's doing with the hobby, man. That's great. I mean, because there's just nobody more relevant really when it comes to the NFL than Tom Brady.
All right, let's go to Don. Okay, Andy, I feel like it's important to share this. I'm going to start opening this box with J.J. McCarthy on the front. I did sell the J.J. McCarthy Zebra short print card that I had. Sold it for $420 out the door. So I still find it ridiculous that card is multiple hundreds more than the Drake May version of that card. I do not think J.J. McCarthy is better than Drake May. I think that's pretty clear up to this point. But Andy, J.J.'s market is just insane. He's not even played a real NFL snap yet.
Yeah, are you do you think J.J. McCarthy is going to outperform Caleb Williams?
Ooh, no. I'm not a Caleb guy, as you know. I was coming out, but the answer to that is no, because it is his first year. There's going to be growing pains. Mm-hmm. It's also important to point out that and sometimes football is just as simple, Andy. If you put up big numbers in college, you're probably going to let me put it this way. If you're putting up big numbers in the NFL, you probably put up huge numbers in college, right? Mm-hmm. Josh Allen really is the only example to this. J.J. McCarthy didn't put up huge numbers at Michigan. Now, he was really good. He ran the Harbaugh offense. It was a Blake Corum show. That offensive line was ridiculous. And his number one receiver was Roman Wilson, who's fine. And, you know, they were very pro-style, play-action, throw to Colston Loveland every now and then type of offense. So McCarthy was really good, throws with a lot of velocity, really athletic, uses his legs well. But it's hard to envision him putting up like those big 300, 350-yard passing games because he simply didn't do that at Michigan. So, you know, for his football cards to spike, as we always say, the number one thing is to be the quarterback of a winning team. But you also need to be able to perform some for some people to look at you and say, oh, okay, this guy actually is the real deal.
For sure. And I mean, dude, it's so hard to go wrong with leaving that box sealed because I really think you should leave it sealed. Yeah.
I'm ripping it. I've already put a hole in it. Why would you say, why would you tell me that after
you've already put a hole in it?
Yes. I told you I was ripping it. Why would you say that right when you saw I had an ink stick to open? Dude, I hate you. We're opening
it.
Oh,
man. That's dude, rough.
You're a loser. You are a loser, dude. There better be a freaking one of one.
I hope so for your sake. But listen, there are six starting NFL quarterbacks out of that draft class right there, out of last year's draft class. And that's not to mention all the great skill position players. Six. That's more than what we got from 2020. At 2020, you know, we're at Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts, Tua, Justin Herbert, and Jordan Love. That's five. So this class right now has even more starting quarterbacks, unless I miss any, but I don't think I did, from 2020. So if you look at the Silver Prism numbers here, right now you've got J.J. McCarthy at a pretty favorable price compared to Caleb Williams. And, you know, if you look, he's lower on average right now, a current trend, than Bo Nix. Drake May, who's actually gone up. If we look, zoom in here over the past 30 days on this card right here, I mean, they're holding strong. So it's like, which one of these guys is going to take the step forward? I think they're going to see that Silver Prism go from around this $400 price point to that $700 and $750 price point. Caleb's is the closest one to that at a trend of $595. But to really take that next step, one of these quarterbacks got to get off to a hot start here, win the first couple games. You know, yeah, you are looking at J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix as mostly as a rookie. A lot of people are going to look at Drake May that same way because there's been so many changes to the coaching staff. He's now got Stephon Diggs, and he's got these better skill position players around him. They're pretty much looking at all these quarterbacks as rookies except for Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels. They're way more established because there hasn't been so many changes to the coaching staff and the supporting cast around them.
Who do you think is the best buy of these? I would probably say,
I'd like to go with, you know, my immediate reaction is to go with the cheapest in Michael Penix, but at the same time, I think that J.J. McCarthy's in a better position with the Vikings' strength of defense, strength of coaching. And they're just, he's got a more proven track record up there with Kevin O'Connell. And so I think J.J. McCarthy's got a really good shot. Jordan Addison's only suspended two games, right? You got Justin Jefferson healthy. You got T.J. Hockenson. I love Aaron Jones there. And then you got a nasty defense on the Vikings. So I think that they could, I don't have the schedule memorized for these guys opening the season, but I think you could see the Patriots win some games, and then Drake May, it's like, oh, plays for the Patriots, easy. But I like to attack these bigger markets, and I think it's got to be narrowed down here to J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, or Drake May, getting up to that 751. And then from those three, I really want to say J.J. McCarthy with the Vikings. I have to go study those opening schedules.
All right. So I've already ripped half the packs in here. We have got absolute trash up to this
what?
Point.
You've already ripped half the packs?
Yeah, I was ripping during your rant after. I was going to do like a whole camera thing, but you pissed me off doing the whole, well, you got to leave it sealed. Left a hole in there.
True friends are gonna shoot it to you straight, man.
I know, but they would shoot it to you straight before I already poked a hole in the dang box.
I really didn't know. See, I didn't know you actually poked a hole.
So we got Ray Davis, napkin patch here. So far, the only rookies we've pulled is Ricky Pearsall, Malik Nabers, base rookie stallions, Jonathan Brooks, and Xavier Leggett with Ricky Pearsall. How about that? But let's get to the next comment. Okay, Swamp Donkey. Yeah, y'all type Y for yes, type N for no if you like the headset. I do love a good headset. Let's go to JR Cards. He wants to talk some Bo Nix. He says Bo Nix is actually the best buy out of the cards that we just had flipped up there.
Well, look, one of the hottest risers after this week three of preseason is Courtland Sutton. Bo Nix and the Broncos starters played 21 snaps in the final preseason game. Courtland Sutton played 100% of those snaps and earned a crazy 50% target share on his seven targets. So, yes, Bo Nix is definitely a guy that you can invest in and potentially make some money on here. I look at it from his historical highs You know, he's obviously kind of leveled out here on the Silver Prism PSA 10 and currently at 450 or lower seems like a pretty decent deal. I'm not gonna lie, man. That's not bad, especially with the strength of the Broncos roster and the strength of their schedule and everything. So I looked at Courtland Sutton, you know, going up. He does have a couple buy it now solds. Like you see his rookie of the year sealed by Panini out of 99 sold for $20. Origins patch that sold for $25. Help if I shared my screen. So, you know, looking at the Courtland Sutton sold market, like, yeah, I do see some cards going up. But overall, for a 2018 rookie and the scarcity he has, there's some pretty good value there. I mean, like, it's really interesting because he's got a red, white, and blue prism that sold up from ComC for $12. But then if I'm looking at this correctly, an immaculate out of 99 eye black rookie auto patch sold for $20. But I have to think this was one of those one bid best offer accepted auctions. So it probably sold for more. Just my guess here. The actual ending amount was probably closer to like $50. But if you were like, look at the 2018 market, like another guy going up a lot right now is Nick Chubb, right, Carter?
Yeah, and now's the time to move it.
Yeah, now's the time to move Nick Chubb. I think Courtland Sutton is more of a hold because you have playoff potential with the Broncos this year. And I think with he is like the security safety possession receiver for Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix absolutely loves Courtland Sutton, and I think Courtland Sutton has still got plenty of tread on his tires, man. And you compare what the highs could get for a 2018 skill position rookie rookie card. Like, look at Nick Chubb. I mean, this is crazy. Out of 99 immaculate patch auto that sold today for $265. So even if that Courtland Sutton sold for $50, is still a deal on that kind of scarcity, because what a lot of people don't realize is 2018 cards are really scarce. Like, here's another example. True rookie patch auto from National Treasures for Courtland Sutton out of 25. That sold for $80 in a buy it now 2 days ago. That might seem high, but it is not at all, man. You go look at what Nick Chubb would do on a card like that is going to be a lot more. I mean, his college uniform, flawless, out of 15, sold for $110, you know?
Let me ask you this, because, you know, Courtland Sutton, I think we can all agree, isn't going to be a Hall of Fame wide receiver, but most people look at him the same way that they'll look at, you know, like one of my favorite receivers, Marcus Colston. Like, he's just a good, good, good player. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, Andy. Do you ever just go back and think of a random football player and you're like, man, I wonder what his football cards are worth? Like, do you ever just think of like just random players? Like, I did this with, do you remember Ben Coates?
Sounds familiar.
Right. He was a tight end for the Patriots who wore number 87. Before Rob Gronkowski, and his film is just insane. Like, if you ever just go back and look at Ben Coates' highlights, you're like, how in the world did the Patriots go from that right into Rob Gronkowski wearing the same jersey number? It's insane. I looked up Anquan Boldin's prices, and his stuff is like, I did not think his stuff would be like 169 flawless patch auto out of 29, $169.99. I thought I would be getting a better deal on that. But no, dude, there's some nasty Anquan Boldin patches that are out there. And dude, they go in the hundreds.
What was his rookie draft year? Like mid 2000s?
Yeah, I would guess. Yeah.
So we're getting like upper deck exquisites. What's the game worn patch set from Upper Deck that they used to print? That's like today's National Treasures.
It's
Man, you're supposed to know this.
I know, I do. My favorite cards have been this. I've already sold them though. I was looking up his draft year, It was 2003, an excellent, excellent year for football cards, right? You're still in that Topps refractor era, and that was right into like the Upper Deck exquisite patch era. That was exquisite. But yeah, dude, so for Courtland Sutton, and you know, I look at Anquan Boldin's prices because sometimes I'm like, well, what does their market do when they retire? Because let's be honest, a lot of us get lazy and not want to actually list it and be like, I just want to keep this. Well, like to the comment of JR cards, Chad Johnson stuff is still expensive. Like I've tried to go buy Chad Johnson stuff. Still expensive. Now it is a little bit different because he is such a, you know, big media personality. But for a guy like Anquan Boldin for his patch autos to still go in the 150s, maybe buying a Courtland Sutton card for like 60, 70 bucks, even if let's just say he flames out and doesn't do anything else, maybe that card just always stays around that price. I don't think that that card ever goes under $50 or 40 bucks per se.
I agree. 2018 has some really good scarcity. I mean, let's look at Ezekiel Elliott. Announces retirement, man. Speaking of retirement.
Wait, did Zeke announce?
I saw a tweet, I think it was yesterday, from Ari Mirov that said Ezekiel Elliott announces that he's hanging it up.
No.
He announces retirement. Or did I get...
Dude, you might have gotten.
I thought it was from Ari. Maybe it was from somebody else.
No, dude. Zeke hadn't hung it up. I was about to say.
Are you sure? I should have swore I saw...
I just looked. I We will be talking about it nonstop if Zeke officially hung it up.
I saw it, man. Come on, chat. Back me up.
No. We need to...
Where's the chat?
There's no way that Zeke announced retirement. He's not ready. I'm not ready to give up on Zeke. It's funny because he popularized this right here, and now that's in like every single TikTok dance. You know, I'm talking about the eat.
What are you dancing right now?
No, it's a little dance.
I'm sorry. I'm searching for the tweet.
No, thank you. Thank you, Steven. You would know by now.
What is this? I'm seeing something. Ezekiel announced his retirement this week without much fanfare from either.
Dude, no. Zeke has not hung it up. I'm sorry, dude. I'm not ready. He's not ready to give up.
You think he's coming back?
I think it's him. There was like a few things where he was saying, I'm contemplating it. He is 30. So 30 is washed range. And he's not really done anything recently. So, yeah, is he cooked? Yeah, he's cooked. I don't think anyone would disagree that he's cooked. But I don't think I think he's going to give it one more go. I think he's going to give it one more go, see if a contender needs him. But, Andy, this is the danger with running backs, right? Think about all the good running backs that were, like, top 10 level picks that have been good pros. Your favorite running back, my favorite running back, Leonard Fournette, can't get a job. Lombardi Leonard. Bills cut him before the playoff run.
He likes to eat too much of that gumbo.
Dude, well, I don't blame him. Lombardi Lenny, baby. The GOAT, or my GOAT. It's hard. It's hard for RBs. I've seen it. I've talked to some of these RBs that are Pro Bowl level. And, dude, it retirement hits them harder than anyone else. I swear.
Yeah. And I'm
not going to say that, like, I know 1,000 gajillion pro football players. But, yeah, through media and doing film study and stuff like that, I've gotten to talk to a few. And the cliff just hits hard mentally and physically for these RBs, harder than any other position. So, you know, I feel bad for old Zeke. I do. But for a while, look, man, auto number to 75 for a hundo, baby. That's a good deal for the seller right there, if you ask me.
And that's an auction. That's an auction. Got 13 bids yesterday. So, I mean, that's some good staying power for a guy who hadn't played much and is on the verge of retirement and not a Hall of Famer.
So let's chat a few of these running backs that are kind of in this twilight range of their careers. One thing that's very weird, Andy, for these twilight running backs, because I think Zeke has already made terms that he's not going to be a Hall of Famer, right? Leonard Fournette has made terms that he's not going to be a Hall of Famer. So, you know, that matters for a lot of these guys to actually be good enough to make it to the Hall. I will tell you right now, Andy, Christian McCaffrey, Derrick Henry, and Alvin Kamara, are any of those three surefire first ballot guys in your mind?
You said Derrick Henry in there?
Yeah,
Derrick Henry is, yeah.
Surefire, first ballot.
I think by the end of his career, he will be surefire because it doesn't look like he's slowing down at all, man. Yeah, knock on wood, like, that guy.
If Derrick said, look, I've won the Heisman, I've done everything I could outside of winning a Super Bowl and playing in a Super Bowl. He wants to retire. Do you think he's surefire Hall of Famer? Right?
Not surefire, but he should be, because there's been nobody built like Derrick Henry that's ever done what Derrick Henry has done. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you can't compare him to any of the greats, really, because Derrick Henry is his own animal, man. He's his own, like, in his own category, you know? There is not a comp for Derrick Henry. So I think you have to put him in the Hall of Fame because of what he's done at his size.
I mean, I would say there are some comps, right? Like Adrian Peterson is someone like Derrick Henry. But I mean, I think for me,
somewhat, but I mean, like, Adrian Peterson's probably like 75-80% of Derrick Henry. That last 20%, that's a lot. Like, AP, obviously, very good.
Wait. Let me stop you right here. You and I, we've gotten into some fiery ones. Are you saying right now, in the year 2025, Andy, you're a sharp football mind, that Derrick Henry is better than Adrian Peterson?
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
No, I'm not saying
that. I was about to say.
He was the last running back to win the MVP. I mean, he put the Vikings on his back. And Derrick Henry has put the Titans on his back before, but he's not won an MVP. And I think that there's a possibility when Derrick Henry hangs it up, whenever that is, maybe another three seasons from now, that'll be – his career will be so spectacular for what he's accomplished that, you know, he could end up with more. If you look at Pro Football Reference and how they rank players by they give them points for their career Hall of Fame points based on the awards, the accolades, the yardage, the production and everything. I mean, he could end up with as many Hall of Fame points as Adrian Peterson by the time he hangs it up.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
So of this era, it's LaDainian Tomlinson, Adrian Peterson, 1A, 1B, either order. You agree that they're in a tier of their own?
From the early 2000s era?
Yeah. Okay. Those two are so far, for me, those two are so far away. Now, like you said, we'll see what Derrick Henry, C-Mac, and McCaffrey do, or C-Mac and Kamara do at the end of their careers here. Those two are just so far away from anyone else. You know, we can get into a debate about some of these other guys, like Jamaal Charles, I think, is underrated. Andy, you might not know this. The chat might not know this, but the analytics community, dude, they will slam the table for Jamaal Charles. But I do think, like, the RB3 of this era is probably Marshall Faulk, and then you can get into the Derrick Henry debate, if you will. But my thing is, I don't think any of those three are first ballot Hall of Famers. And if I were to order them, I would probably go Derrick Henry 1, Kamara 2, McCaffrey 3 at this juncture. Now, you could say McCaffrey's peak was better than those other two, like his best seasons. Yeah, I can hear that out, but I that's how I see it. I think for Christian McCaffrey, these final years are big for his Hall of Fame legacy. I don't think he's in. I don't know if he's really close because he's been hurt so daggum much.
Yeah, that's really what's holding him back at this point. And, you know, that's what's holding his values down right now. You know, And so if he had the same type of expectations, like same type of injury perception as he did last year and the year before when he made it through a healthy season, then his values would be a lot higher like they were. And right now his values are suppressed because of that. But from what everything that I hear and read, he's perfectly healthy, and there's a possibility that he could be right back on top after this season. But it's just like everybody's very skeptical that he's going to be able to stay healthy.
Yeah. Now, it's funny. A lot of people are checking me in the comments for my Alvin Kamara love. J.R. Card says, AK has never had a 1,000-yard rushing season. And you're right about that. But, you know, context matters, right? Derrick Henry and C-Mac were in heavy volume offenses where Alvin Kamara in his prime played for Sean Payton, who is historically the most heavy rotation running back head coach of the elite head coaches, right? And he is a pass-catching running back head coach. He wants all his running backs to catch passes out of the backfield. So he is a different style of player. But I guess it's my bias, might be creeping in here. Maybe AK's not in that conversation with those other two. I don't think so,
but...
Oh, so you don't think AK is on C-Mac and Derrick Henry's level?
No.
I knew you would disagree. See, now...
He's had a couple seasons where he was super, gifted, in terms of his finesse. His finesse was just out of this world, being able to make people miss and, play that multi-role running back position. But I think he took a couple injuries and just age, and then the fact that Drew Brees retired, I think ever since then he just hasn't been the same, man. And he's fallen off a lot. So that was short-lived, in my opinion.
I don't think he's fallen off, though. I think it's just Derek Carr, Dennis Allen, going from
Spencer Rattler is your I saw announced as your starting quarterback this year.
Oh.
The Rattler's gone up a bunch in price, and I'm wondering, what do you say to the people? Do you recommend that people sell on this new spike for Spencer Rattler and the New Orleans Saints?
Well, that was going to be my hobby tip, or my hobby play of the week, is sell Spencer right now, because I know a lot of our viewers have ripped product, and he's in some of it. Obviously, he's not going to be printed as much as the other quarterbacks, but it was the biggest gap in NFL history between, the elite quarterbacks and the next quarterback selected. He was in the fifth round for a reason. Spencer Rattler has played 9 first quarters as an NFL quarterback. Preseason and real season, he has scored 9 total points in 9 quarters. 9 total points. And you want me, and I'm not saying you, but I'm just saying generally, you want me to sell people on Spencer Rattler as a legit starting quarterback in the NFL when you can sell his non-color match, prism, super short print, non-serial numbered card here for $200? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is Mac Jones level stuff. Sell now.
Yeah, look at the price increase from the end of July here. That same card sold for close to $100, and now it's up almost double. So, I'm seeing that a lot across the board because he's a quarterback that was cheap. So when quarterbacks go cheap, they haven't played a bunch, people don't know them, there's a lot of people in the hobby that are going to impulse buy. You can make a lot of money off those impulse hobbyist buyers right there.
All right, let's go through our hobby tips and hobby plays of the week. Andy, I had a different hobby tip as far as buying, retail, because you will obviously strike out like I did on this blaster box. But my hobby tip of the week hit me like a ton of bricks when we were showing those Adam Thielen cards, and someone with that rookie ticket auto Adam Thielen had that crappy photo of the Thielen card on his bed sheet. You remember that from earlier in the stream?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Don't Y'all don't ever take a photo with a card on a carpet or on a bed sheet. I don't want to see what all kinds of crumbs and stains and regret that's on your comforter. I'm sorry. Please take a decent amount of time to take a photo of a card in your hand, but never, ever, ever do the card on a bed sheet BS. Table, sure. But another thing about cards and taking photos on a table. This might just be a Louisiana Southern thing, Andy. But why is it that every single person that wants to do, hey, I just ripped a card, let me put it on a table, your bare foot is always in the photo. I do not want to see your owl talons while you take a photo of your base Chris Olave for that'll 99 cent and get zero views and zero bids. Get those nasty ass feet out of the photo. Stop it. Give me get the chainsaw out, Rick, Chad, whatever your name is watching this, and saw those puppies down. I do not want to see your nasty Frodo feet in my card photo. I'm not going to buy it. I don't care. It might be a Tyrann Mathieu card that I absolutely need for my collection. I'm not going to buy it out of principle. So take the time, take decent photos, please. All right, Andy, hobby tip of the week. Let's go.
Yeah, I'll take a significant discount. I wonder have you ever messaged any of those sellers and be like, I need 20% off at least because I just had to stomach looking at your, what do you call them, owl talons?
Owl talons, baby. No, because I have them. My wife has gotten on me all the time. Hey, you know, you're lacerating my heels down here. Like, I mean, goodness gracious. So I've got to saw my feet down. You do. That's why I don't wear open toe shoes. Do you wear open toe shoes, Andy?
All the time, baby. I'm a flip flop guy, man.
That is the most Tampa thing I have ever heard in my life.
But my wife makes me clip my toenails. So if she sees me and I don't have clipped toenails, like it's not looking good, she won't let me wear the sandals.
Good. I knew I could trust Amber. I knew I could.
So,
all right, hobby tip.
So what I did was I got the toe socks, you know, because I've been running a lot more. So I got the toe socks, which are great with sandals. But she don't like those either. Listen, I think it's pretty obvious what the hobby tip is this week. Keep your 2024 products sealed, guys. Keep your 2024 boxes sealed. I mean, I'm looking at the 2024 Optic blaster boxes. They're selling for $100. They're selling for the same as 2020 Optic blasters. And it's just unbelievable because the print runs have gone up and variety has gone up, new sets and this and that. And obviously the focus has evolved, you know, since then. Like the Optic Holo from 2020 is not, generally speaking, worth the same as the Optic Holo from 2024. So keep those sealed boxes sealed from 2024. There's six starting quarterbacks. And then we're not even talking about all the skill position players that people would want to chase too. But the quarterbacks are really what drive those sealed boxes. And so keep them sealed.
Yeah, let's run through, and I'm with you. I still have 2020 boxes that I will rip when I become a millionaire. But until then, they're for my children's children's. Matt says, buy the card, not the grade. If you want a great condition for your card, buy a mint gem BGS 9.5 for less than a PSA 9.
I love it. Especially if you're targeting, you know, rookie autos, more rare cards. Buy the card, not the grade.
Travis, I mean,
that's really important.
Travis with the ultimate deep cut QB play. Stetson Stachwavius Bennett is the future of the Rams.
I tried to give Stetson as a sleeper stash quarterback play last year. I think because his rookie year was 2023 now, but he went to rehab in his rookie year, and so he's finally making a comeback. I mean, this is a winner from Georgia, so you know it's interesting. It's cheap. But is he going to get a playing time? I mean, wouldn't they start Jimmy? He would have to – they'd have to go through Jimmy Garoppolo and Matt Stafford to get to Stetson Bennett, wouldn't they?
Yeah, I think his stuff will go down. If you want to buy a bunch of Stetson stuff, I wouldn't buy now since we just saw him dominate the preseason, and it was good. And, you know, in 2022 in particular, Georgia, his film was ridiculous. It was also throwing to Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers. So it is something, right? But yeah, I would definitely wait a few weeks before going to buy Stetson, because I don't, even with the injury history of the first two quarterbacks on the Rams, I would wait a little bit. So there you go. We say Ziggy Noah, a content card creator, content creator. Is in the chat. What's up, Ziggy? No, good to see you, brother.
Ziggy, what's up, man?
JR says, I truly hate how defensive players are so undervalued. JR, we Andy, did we not try for like the first year of doing the show just trying to hype up defensive players? I was buying Nick Bosa stuff, expensive Nick Bosa's, and then I was like, it's just not happening.
I think that defensive players aren't undervalued, but it's a shorter list of the ones that aren't undervalued, right? Yeah. Like, you know, a mid skill position player is not equal to a mid defensive player. Like, I probably could go look up Kyle Hamilton's rookie autos, who just became the highest paid safety in the NFL for the Ravens. And I mean, his rookie autos are probably, I don't know, what would you think if, like, compared it to a wide receiver market? Like, where do they rank? I mean, it's probably somewhere around a wide receiver, you know, 30 or something. Like, maybe Cortland Sutton. I don't know. You know, So I'd have to go look at that. But you're right. Generally speaking, they're undervalued compared to other players.
So let's do a comparison, right? I've never, and I should do this, I should be better at this, I've never looked at Kyle Hamilton's card market, Andy.
Let's check it out.
Let's just do this now. And here's what I would say. Like, if we were to do an apt comparison of a player from, you know, basically the same draft class, Kyle Hamilton and Puka Nacua are probably the same. Like, is Kyle Hamilton the best safety in the NFL? Probably not. You could make a case that he is. Is Puka Nacua the best wide receiver in the NFL? Probably not, but if he balls out this year, maybe so. So if that's the case, I would like to think that Puka cards would be like 1.5-2x what a guy like Kyle Hamilton's cards would be. If I'm, does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, that's a good estimation to like put a number on it. But I mean, okay. Well, so we've got Kyle Hamilton. Let's just take National Treasures. I mean, that's a top three brand in the football card hobby. You got the pigskin pat double patch here, rookie auto out of 99 that sold for $60 and a buy it now yesterday. We can easily find a comparable player. And let's look at Brian Robinson Jr. because he was just traded to the 49ers. I got to think there's a little 49ers tax there, Carter, for B Rob. You know, he partners up with Ricky Parasol, who is also shot. So you got the gunshot buddies there.
Yeah, there we go.
You know, a little correlation. I don't know. You wanted me to look up Puka though, but I mean, let me just, I'm curious to see where he stacks up compared to Brian Robinson.
Yeah, because Puka and Puka was in a draft class after Kyle Hamilton, so it might not be the best comparison.
No, it's not. It's not a very good comparison.
Wow. Do you have been at me today? Which is fine.
I don't know why I've been so hard on you. The chat doesn't even know that I gave you asked for the best workout of all time, and so I literally just ran you into the ground.
Dude, I hate your soul. After my body is still hurting. They make me do medicine balls. Like, you're making me do like what Drew Brees, because Drew Brees is notorious for like his workouts, like how hard he would go. I was like, man, this is what like Drew Brees would do like every freaking day.
You guys got to go follow Carter on Twitter at Power. What's your Twitter handle, Carter?
It's Power Hour LSU or Carter the Power.
Carter the Power, because you posted a video of you doing box jumps.
Yesterday, yeah.
I want everybody to go grade Carter's explosiveness on his box jump.
Derrick Henry's going to be like, damn, dude, come work out with me, bro. So B-Rob compared to Kyle Hamilton. Oh, dude, that's insane. That's absolutely insane.
And we're talking the highest paid safety in the NFL on an elite team, and Brian Robinson just traded. And this is from the 24th, so I don't know when that times up with his trade. But, you know, it's just like the prices are about the same for Brian Robinson, whereas they should be somewhere closer, you know, to at least James Cook or Drake London level, right?
I would say Kyle Hamilton's a better safety than Drake London is a wide receiver, but it's probably worse. Yeah, I don't think that's a hot take. I think if Mina Kimes was sitting right here, who does this every day, she would say the same thing.
Well, I mean, so we're going to be looking at a much more expensive card for Drake London. Although these prices we're finding right here aren't too bad. But here's that card, PSA 9, sold August 17th for $180.
Unbelievable. I mean, a full 3x on a team that doesn't win as much. But I don't – Chad, flame me all you want if you want to. Kyle Hamilton is so like top 25 player in the NFL. I don't think that's a hot take.
No, I like Kyle Hamilton. I mean, he's a stud, man.
I think it's because it's a basic name. He needs a better nickname. He's an interesting guy. Born in Greece, Asian descent. Played at top 5 brand in college football, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And he's just a baller.
How much do you think not being able to spear or hit players like they used to be able to hit players has an impact on guys like Kyle Hamilton's card values?
Huge. And I'm glad you brought that up because, like, you used to be able to do so much. Like, Troy Polamalu, we'll tell our grandkids that we got to see him just tear heads off of people. Ryan Clark, who's, you know, one of the biggest names in media, his biggest highlights were him de-cleating Wes Welker. Like, literally, no regard for human existent types of hits. But, JR, I'm glad you got us down this rabbit hole because we have long said defensive players need more love. So, there you go. Matt, okay, this is interesting. All right, let's do what Matt says. Compare Sauce and Garrett Wilson, and we'll do that before we skedaddle here. Don't forget, you can join our Patreon, patreon.com/footballcards. That gets you access to the Discord, which gets you access to me. I'm always active in the Discord. I want to shout out Jonathan. He's probably the most active over there in England.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Jonathan's crushing it.
Okay, we have Garrett Wilson. All right, now let's look up Sauce Gardner. So
I'm trying to find a good card to compare it to. I like to look at the rookie auto because it's got some scarcity to it. I think a lot of people are holding Garrett Wilson right now.
All right, while you look this up, Andy, I'll rapid fire take a few of these. Let's go to Card Banker 20. How would you value a Prism Silver and Color Match PSA 10 to base, and same for Hot Optic Holo and Color Match? And Card Banker says he wants more of my hockey takes.
Okay. Oh, good Lord.
Don't get me started. Don't get me freaking started. If Wayne Gretzky was sitting right here, I would slap him in his face for popularizing this game. Hockey is an abomination to society. I mean, it is that bad. It is that bad of a game. All right. To answer your question, though, I love Color Match PSA. the problem with color match though, Andy, is like there's so much more value to me in a color match with like a gold number to 10. It doesn't really matter because everyone loves like gold number to 10. But it is something that the Saints have gold in their jerseys and the Chiefs have gold in their jerseys. So, you know, it just depends on the parallel, but I love color match. I do. But as we've always stated, Andy, the silver variation of prism and optic is just always going to be coveted.
Yes. Yeah. No, it sure is. So I got the data here on Sauce versus Garrett Wilson. I mean, it's pretty close, man. I'm not gonna lie. Look, you got 2 encased out of 50. Sold the beginning of August for around $52 for the out of that's out of 99, and the Garrett Wilson's out of 50. So if you look at the out of 50 encased right here that sold August 2nd for 65 for Sauce, and then you look at the out of 50 encased that sold for Garrett Wilson here just yesterday for 70. So it's very close, at least on this card. You know, I maybe look at a few different cards to see how that differs. But I mean, I think that Sauce has got a, you know, Sauce is like naturally a funny guy. He's a big character. He's got the crazy chains. He's got this gaming channel, YouTube channel, you know, he openly talks a lot. So it's like he's got a much bigger off-field personality than Kyle Hamilton. And that goes a long way for defensive guys.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's not close. James, thank you for the super chat. He said he's late to the party, didn't make it home. Here's a good thing, James. When this is over, you can listen to this for free in perpetuity for the rest of your life. So you're in luck, James. You are. Jonathan said, should I sell my Rattler Silver Prism Auto? Hell yes.
Yes. Yes.
If there has ever been a more obvious sell now candidate than Spencer Rattler right now, find it for me. Right. Outside of like Mike White and that Jordan Mason run last year, there's just not many other like clear-cut situations. And Mike White's a little bit different because he was like a pure backup. Rattler is a week one starter. So you have the week one hype going into the season as well. So there you go.
Oh, fantasy advice.
Oh, you get,
well, this is great because Carter is the average fantasy player and he loves giving fantasy advice.
Dude, yeah, I know. I suck at fantasy, but I do hundreds. I'm 400 drafts deep on Underdog.
400. So holy crap.
Well, on all different platforms.
Do you do any 16 man leagues? Because that is insanely deep.
That is silly. First thing is obviously is this PPR. And then the second thing, I'm going to give you the best advice possible here, Joe. So for me, if I'm in a bigger league, right? And bigger is 14 or 16. 12 is standard. 10, you know, is what a lot of people do. So in terms of popularity, Andy, I would say 12 is number one by far. Then 10 is second. 14 is third. And then 16, if you're in a 16-team league, Joe, I'm guessing you're in a 16-team league with friends. Okay? Just throw two of your friends in an erupting volcano and just call it. Like, you don't need 16 teams in a fantasy league. But if it's PPR, then at the 1.2.
Who are you getting at the 1.2, Carter? Jamar Chase, can we both agree, should be the 1.1?
Yeah, so if Jamar for some reason falls to 1.2, and it could, it's a home league, then you will take Jamar Chase above all else.
Well, so let's say Jamar Chase is gone, the 1.1. Who do you take at the 1.2?
I would probably take Bijan Robinson. Okay. I would take one of two players. I would take Bijan or Jahmyr Gibbs at the 1.2 in a 16-team PPR league.
PPR. Yeah, Bijan, that's a good – I mean, that's a really safe floor, high upside pick. I'd be torn, though, with CeeDee Lamb, not going to lie.
Yeah, I could see that as well in that spot. You know, I love that everybody's fading Justin Jefferson, and I'm able to draft him at the like 1.6 now. And I'm like, if I go down with the ship at Justin Jefferson at 1.6, I will happily go down.
We just don't know that J.J. McCarthy's that good. That's it, man. But everybody's going to react to J.J. McCarthy and Justin Jefferson. That's a big storyline at the beginning of the season, isn't it?
I will tell you this. Max Brosmer, remember the name. I freaking love me some Max Brosmer, the rookie quarterback that they drafted out of Minnesota. What I would recommend you do, Joe, is you would be at the 1.2, and then that would put you at the 2.15, correct, Andy? Yeah. So the 2.15 would be pick number what? That would be pick number...
like almost pick number 30?
Would that be?
It's like something, yeah, somewhere right around there.
Yeah. I would definitely go Trey McBride or Brock Bowers if they were to fall, but I don't think either would fall that far. The tight end positional advantage in a 16-team league would be so massive. See, I am of the logic that if it's a 10-team league, the tight end positional advantage isn't as big. But in a 16-team league, like...
Get Brock Bowers.
Yeah. Right. And then there's going to be more wide receiver values that fall. So I would get Brock Bowers or Trey McBride for sure. And I would take either of those over a guy like T. Higgins, James Cook. I would take both of those guys over JSN, so on and so on, because those wide receivers, I mean, Chris Olave is going so late, which is so disrespectful to him. Even with Tyler Shuck, Olave is going to produce. So you can make up at wide receiver. Yeah. Tight end, even though it's a onesie, if I can get Bowers
for some reason. Yeah, so that's what you do, is you get Bowers or Kittle, because there's going to be such a fall off in skill position, which you have to start more of in this type of fantasy format with 16 teams. Because you're not – unless you're getting Ja'Marr Chase – pick two, then maybe you get Joe Burrow and the beginning of the third there. Otherwise, though, like, you can get Dak Prescott in the sixth round or something like that. You know, you can get Baker back there in the fifth round. You can get some of these Kyler Murray, Brock Purdy, you know, Dak Prescott, or I mentioned him, but you get Justin Fields, Caleb Williams, Drake May. You can get those guys later on in the draft that have nice upside. So it's like there's no incentive to get your quarterback that early unless you're stacking him and he's an elite quarterback like Burrow or Jalen Hurts or Jaden Daniels, you know, or Lamar or Josh Allen. That's kind of like that top five tier with one of your skill position guys that you're drafting there in the first round. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, at the 2-3 turn, I'm either going elite tight end or elite QB. I wouldn't do both. So if McBride and Bowers are gone, I'm just taking – I hate that portion of the draft anyway. I'm just taking Lamar or Josh.
Really?
Yeah, dude, they're just so much better. Lamar, Josh, or Jaden, but you wouldn't take Jaden there.
Unless you drafted A.J. Brown. Like, if you drafted A.J. Brown in the first round at like the 4 or 5 spot, maybe.
But here's something else. If you want to skip QB there and Jalen Hurts falls to you in the 4.
He's not falling to the 4. I mean, if he does, though, then yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's an unsexy pick. I Jalen Hurts is so much better and managed compared to best ball, because Jalen doesn't have like those 30-point weeks. But he's constantly giving you 17 to 22 per week. I like him a lot better in managed than in best ball, where I really need those spikes. And the top three guys this year are just going to give you some cartoonish best ball spikes. So
it just seems like in a 16-team league, if you get like starters in each of your positional categories, you're in really good shape. Like, if you can have some decent starters So I love what you're talking about, getting a tight end. I think it's smart, actually, get one of the top three tight end. I mean, I think Bowers is just a, you know, in a separate stratosphere at number one, but then close behind him, McBride and George Kittle is who, I mean, I think Kittle's got potential this year to have another career year. And like he could potentially finish as tight end one this year, Kittle.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. McBride is just obscenely good, though, especially in PPR. He is just obscenely good. And the thing that I'm worried about with the Bowers is the new OC, the new QB, obviously both upgrades, but he's not a traditional tight end. Trey McBride is a traditional hand in the dirt tight end. Bowers is a slot receiver playing tight end. And it's a huge difference. Huge. But here's the thing about Bowers that becomes an ultra smash. If Jacoby Myers gets dealt, Bowers clears McBride. I'm with you on that. I'm with you.
Jacoby Myers is a beast, too, and he's a really good value in drafts. Probably the hobby, too. I mean, he's got really a lot of scarcity on his rookie cards.
I'm interested where he's going to go, though. I don't think the Raiders said that they don't want to deal him, even though he wants to be dealt. The Jack Besh pick was kind of redundant because him and Myers are very similar players. Then you bring back Amari Cooper. It's a weird situation.
Why does he want to be dealt?
I get it, because if, you know, if these receivers are is it selfish? Yeah, but I mean, you know, everybody's selfish. If you're in his shoes, you'd want to get as much money as possible too.
He's a guy who started at the bottom too. Like, he started at the bottom, now he's there kind of thing, and so he's looking to get paid.
So I get it. You know, his role is kind of like, I don't think the Bowers thing would have pissed me off if I'm Jacoby Myers, but to draft Jack Besh, who's kind of a slot guy who can also play some on the outside, it's kind of like, well, what do you guys think about me? And I could see him saying, look, I want to go where a slot receiver is needed, right? Like, why not go to Dallas? Why not go to I'm just thinking off the top of my head some other places that would make sense.
I don't think he's going to get dealt. I think Brady's going to come talk to him, you know, help him get a better contract. They'll figure it out. Jacoby's a stud. I think he's a good team player.
Oh, he's not that right now. He's not a team player right now.
Not right now.
Not right now. Know? But I will say, if I was in his shoes and I saw the Terry McLaurin deal, and I've gone through minicamp, and I'm like, well, my role is going to change here. I could see him even this late going through all the preseason stuff. It's just the Raiders have all the leverage. You know, like I can understand that. All right, y'all. This was a fun stream. One of our funnest. We ripped packs. We are one day closer to the actual season. We'll talk to you guys next week. Yes, sir. Peace out. Boom.
Peace.